morning, everyone. Glad to be here. And thank you, Pastor Tim, for inviting us to Malaysia. And I realized one thing, why am I invited? I see all these young people, even Eugene's the one that introduced me. So I'm about the same age. That's why I'm invited. All right? So that's why Pastor Joe is not invited, because we are on the different age group. Sorry, it's just a joke, okay? All right. Well, again, I just want to appreciate the leadership of Pastor Tim in the region. Pastor Tim and Ms. Teresa came to our church in November and preaching about Engage. And I still remember what he preached, and it really influenced the church to be more engaging to the lost people. So you are privileged to have a pastor like Pastor Tim. Give him a big, big hand, right? Well, and you, yesterday I went to Rimbayu, and I didn't know that actually you have a Korean pastor over there, okay? Pastor Stephen. Where's Pastor Stephen? Yeah, Korean man. I thought I preach at every nation, Korea. Okay. Well, after the service, we went for Korean food in Malaysia. How about that? So thank you for feeding both of us for nice food and good durian. Okay, that was the ultimate. Okay, so before I preach, I want to introduce my family. This is every nation tradition. So this is my family. This picture was taken 2 years ago, okay, at the end of the pandemic. I think I can use this. Okay, so we have four children, and our oldest is Helen, and this is Dennis, the husband, and the second one is Kathy, James, and DJ. So, as a good Chinese family, we plan very well. So our kids like 4 to 5 years apart. So we need to only pay one college tuition every time. So one graduate and then the next. No, actually we didn't plan it that well. God made it that way. So we are fortunate with that. And this is been the addition of our family. So this 2023, we go to a next level. So we are grandpa and grandma, okay? This is our first granddaughter, Emily. So this picture was taken last Monday. So Emily was 1 month. So the grandma is busy. Not the grandpa. The grandpa just enjoyed the granddaughter, okay? I told her, okay, the stroller time and all the diapers time is over. Let the parents busy about that. We just enjoy the grandchildren. Right, Pastor Joe and Miss Lilith? That's the way. But they went to Singapore and take care of the grandchildren. That's amazing, but it's just not the sixth one, okay? That's their calling, but that's not our calling. Okay, we are on different, yeah, okay. Well, today, this is the seventh installment of our series, and it's been preached in every nation world, meaning 80 countries, preaching the same series, and we come to the seventh series, which is the story of Lazarus. Lazarus is so popular. So if you type in Google Lazarus, there's a Lazarus effect, meaning someone that has died, apparently died, and then there's a sign of life again. So that's a medical term for Lazarus effect. Come from John chapter 11. So let me just start reading John 11, verse 1 till 4. This is the background of the story. Now, a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So actually the story of Mary anointed Jesus was on the next chapter, chapter 12. So this family, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, so popular in the Bible, okay? So probably if Jesus went to Jerusalem and stay at their place, Martha would cook laksa in char kway teow, something like that, okay? So Mary would be listening to Jesus, telling the story, teaching, telling about all the miracles that he did. And Lazarus was there. So Jesus did not have to book Airbnb when he went to Jerusalem, because there's a family that is very close to Jesus. In fact, when Lazarus was sick, this is what the messenger that was sent by the sisters to Jesus. Verse 3. So the sisters sent to him saying, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." They don't even have to say the name. They didn't send and say, "Lord, Lazarus was ill," but "the one that you love." Well, you can actually tell Jesus about that when you are sick. "Lord, the one that you love is sick." I mean, it's me that is sick. It's understood. So Jesus actually understood what the sister was saying, okay? "Lord, the whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. It is the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." So this introduction, everything is normal. But I want to focus on the next two verses. In verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. This is a statement. John wrote about how Jesus loved these three people: Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. So means because Jesus loved them, this is what John wrote on verse 6. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. That small word, "so," meaning that because Jesus loved them, he purposely stayed 2 days longer. The Bible didn't say Jesus loved them, but he was so busy doing ministry, he has to stay 2 days longer. But because Jesus loved them, Jesus decided to stay 2 days longer. In every nation world, we believe that discipleship is relationship. There's no discipleship without relationship. When you have close relationship, you can expect something more. If I just know someone, I would hesitate to ask him for help. But if I know someone very well, I know if I ask him something to help me, he will surely help me. Okay? I would ask Pastor Joe something that I wouldn't ask my regular church member, because I know Pastor Joe better. I know our relationship is closer, so that I have expectation of the relationship. I would imagine if I was sick and I was in Jakarta and I text Pastor Joe, "Pastor Joe, I'm in the hospital. I'm sick, could you please pray for me? The hospital that I'm in actually is close to your house." Actually, I didn't say that, "Please come to the hospital and pray for me." How about if he read my message and didn't reply at all? I would be disappointed. So you see the background. You see, can you imagine when the messengers actually came back to Bethany after a long journey? I would imagine that Mary and Martha was at the door expecting the messenger would come back with Jesus. And they will say, "Where's Jesus?" And they say, "Well, it seems that he didn't want to come. We don't know why, but he just stayed there." The second question, is he busy? It seemed no. There's no schedule, actually. No conference, no healing service. He just stayed at Capernaum. And he just didn't want to come, I guess. Can you imagine the feeling, the disappointment? Have you ever been in that place in your relationship with God? You thought, if God really loved me, and he say he loved me, and I've done so many things for him, if I pray, I expect him at least to answer my prayer. If I text him, at least he didn't just read, he replied. Two days later, Jesus talked to the disciple and said, "Let's go to Bethany because our friend," that's what Jesus said to the disciple, "our friend Lazarus is asleep and we're gonna go there to wake him up." And the disciple thought it was literally sleep. So the disciple said, "Oh, when he sleep, he will surely recover." And Jesus told the disciple, then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus has died." And I want you to see verse 15. "And for your sake, I am glad that I was not there." For your sake, I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. Have you read that Five Love Languages? There's a book by Dr. Gary something. Five Love Languages. It's act of service, quality time. There are five, okay? And that's not Bible verses, okay? It's just Dr. Gary, okay? But I believe Jesus has a love language. And his love language is trust. It pleased Jesus when we trust him more than you coming to church. I'm a pastor. I love full crowd service. But to Jesus, trusting him is more important than you come to a service. Coming to a service is very important. I guess that's Jesus' love language. Okay, let's continue. Now, when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. Okay, I read some of the commentaries that says that during that time, there's a belief, superstitious belief, that the spirit was still hovering around the body up till the third day. So Jesus wanted to make sure he comes on the fourth day, so Lazarus is dead. Okay? There's no way that Lazarus is gonna rise again because it's on the fourth day. That's why Jesus came on the fourth day. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Both of them were really upset, and I think Martha ran out of the house, and in her heart, she says, "No more cha kway tiao, not even coming to my house. I'll meet you outside. I want to ask you the question that's burning in my heart." And she really did. This is what she said. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. If you had been here, my brother Lazarus would still be alive." And we all have that questions. Let us be honest. How many of you here, good Christians, that you have this, some disappointment, you expect something that God would do for you, and apparently He didn't? Any of you? Wow, it's amazing. Nobody's disappointed you. Did you all pray? Okay. Wow, okay. Well, if we want to be honest, we all have this moment. We thought God's gonna heal our prayer. We thought He's gonna bless our business, but Lord, why our business closed down during the pandemic? Why my children turn away from you? We serve God, Lord. We give tithe and offering. We went to mission. And I thought you love us. I thought you love me. That's the question that actually Martha was asking Jesus. Why didn't you come? We cooked for you. You got free meal, free stay. And Lord, no more. You stay outside. Hey, God is big enough to take our disappointment. Don't you agree? That's Jesus. But even though Martha was upset, she was disappointed. But I want all of us to learn from Martha and Mary. Because she said this, "But even now, I know you didn't come on time. But even though you're late, Lord, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give it to you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." Do you believe this? The truth was given to Martha at the lowest point of his life. Many times, God speaks clear when we were at the bottom of our life. We were so busy doing things, and sometimes God chose the moment that He could speak to us. And that's the moment that actually He taught Martha about something more important than the life. Bios, all of us would die one day, but Jesus was talking about another life. Zoe, His life. That's why He say, "Whoever believe in me shall never die." You and I shall never die. We would one day die. Even Lazarus, this is not a spoiler. Everyone knows at the end of the story, Lazarus will rise again, right? But where's Lazarus right now? He died again, okay? Even after Jesus raised him from the dead, he would still die. Everyone would die. But Jesus made this bold statement. He says that whoever believes in me, though he die, he shall live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. So actually what he's saying, if you believe in me, don't fear death. The truth that he revealed to someone that is so disappointed because she expected Jesus to come at the right time, according to Martha. So let's go to Mary. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, and Mary. And now when Mary came to where Jesus was, still, okay? So Martha asked Mary to come, not inviting Jesus to the house, okay? Still upset, okay? So Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him. She fell at his feet saying to him, the same thing, same sentence. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But look at Mary. When she was disappointed, she still knelt down, meaning she still worshiped Jesus in her disappointment, in her not understanding the situation. During the pandemic, several of our church members passed away because of COVID. And there's a story, a young medical doctor from our church, she got married. After she was married for a year, she moved to another island in Papua. Papua is the island eastern of Indonesia. She loved God. She was an usher in our church before. And I heard she got COVID. So I text her. There was no reply. Few days later, I found out that she passed away because of COVID. I think about 3 or 4 weeks later, the husband texted me and he said, Pastor, can I give you a call? And I gave him a call and he said, Pastor, I don't know if you heard that my wife passed away of COVID. I said, yes, I did. And he told me the story and he said, well, actually, my wife was 7 months pregnant at the time. And we, because the husband is also a medical doctor. And the doctor tried to save the baby, but the baby only lived for another 3 days. And the baby died. And he said, Pastor, could you please pray for me and also my mother-in-law? Because my father-in-law also died because of COVID at the same day my wife passed away. So in the morning, the father-in-law passed away. In the afternoon, the wife passed away. 3 days later, the baby passed away. Usually when they are from Papua, so usually when they come to Surabaya, the city where I live, they come to church. The daughter is part of our church, but not the parents. So we had a Zoom call. And then the mother asked me this question, Pastor, if God really loved me, why would God take my daughter, my husband at the same day, and also my grandson? My pastor told me that God loved them more than I do. And this is from her word. God is so selfish. God has so many sons and daughters. I only have one husband. And my daughter still have a bright future. And she's having this first baby. Why did God take them home? It's a very difficult question. I didn't know what to answer. I forgot to call Pastor Tim. And I just cry because I really don't know what to tell them. I thought, ooh, the pastor made a blunder by telling that to her. I honestly didn't know, you know, because I honestly wanted to give her answer. I say, Ibu, can we just pray and then we will have another Zoom meeting in 2 weeks' time? I thought in 2 weeks' time, I'll be a very wise pastor and give her the answer, which I didn't know. So after that, a week later, my brother-in-law, which I'm very close with, also got COVID. During that time, the COVID in Indonesia, especially in Surabaya, was very severe. We ran out hospital bed, okay, ran out of medication, ran out of oxygen. It was really bad. And for some of our church members, getting into a hospital is already a miracle, okay? Not getting cured from COVID, getting to the hospital, because some of them call us to pray for a hospital room and they actually couldn't make it because there's no hospital room. It was really bad. And during that situation, to make it short, my brother-in-law passed away. And I was disappointed because he's a very nice Christian, very generous, supporting the churches, not only in our city, in the village. When we do the funeral, we have to rent some of the equipment because it's on the pandemic. Some of them, when I tell them about him, they say, "Oh, I know him. You can have it for free. He's such a nice guy. He's really a nice guy." And I was so disappointed because I sense, okay? I told my wife, I sense God's gonna heal him. And this time I missed it. And I didn't understand. Up till now, I didn't understand. So I remember the schedule for a meeting. So I had to postpone the meeting with this Ibu in Papua. So I say, "Ibu, so sorry. I think we need to cancel the meeting. Let's postpone the meeting because I also have someone that is close to my heart just pass away because of COVID." I think a month later, we had a Zoom meeting. And I still didn't know the answer because I still have the same question. And I told this Ibu, "So sorry. Let's just pray. I really don't know the answer because this has also happened to me." And she said that, "Pastor, may I pray for you?" I said, "Sure." And she prayed for me. She cried and I cried. And I sensed that there's a presence of God even over the Zoom call. It's a very short Zoom call because we don't know what to say. You know, sometimes it becomes so short, especially in a Zoom meeting, if you don't know what to say. She doesn't know what to say. I don't know what to say. Okay, after we pray and say, "Okay, thank you, we'll meet again." Okay, something like that. But I realized that things happen in our life. And we could have that kind of disappointment in our life. We pray, we believe God for a situation, and it seems that God did it another way. But I want you to see what happened next. And I hope from this story, we all can learn something and bring it home and apply it to our life. First, Jesus wept. This is the shortest verse. If you want to start memorizing the verse in the Bible, I suggest John 11:35 is the start. So at least you memorize one verse, Jesus wept. But this is so powerful. You know why? Because Jesus knew in 5 minutes' time, Lazarus would be alive and well. okay, and probably eat cha kway tiao with him. But he still wept. It means he understand your feeling. He still love you. He understand what you went through, but there are things he just didn't tell you why he did what he did. In John 12, Mary understood. They have a feast. Mary poured the ointment. Martha cooked cha kway tiao again. Lazarus was there. Everybody was happy. But we don't know our John 12. Some of us has passed that experience and say, now I know why. Some of us is still in the midst of questioning why this happened. To the family, when we lost our loved one, I still don't know why. And sometimes I say, God, I know the list of people that I think deserve you calling them home faster. Hey, I'm a pastor, but I still think that worldly thing, okay? Yeah, your pastor might not, but I say, God, why him? Not. Oh, I won't mention names, all right? I still don't understand. Up till right now. Verse 43. When he said this thing, he cried out with a loud voice. He went to Lazarus' tomb and he asked Martha. Martha, move the stone. Okay? And can you just start playing the tune? And this is what he said to Martha. Martha, you ask the people to roll the stone and I will do something. And I believe God wants us also today, if we have Lazarus effect in our life, things that died, and it's already the fourth day. And I like when Jesus actually, I lost one of the, well, let me just tell you the what John says. Jesus said to Martha, Martha, roll the stone. And Martha say, Lord, it's been 4 days. It smell. I like what the King James translation say. It's really strong. It stinketh, Lord. Anybody understand that old English word, stinketh? Lord, it stink to the extreme. Stinketh, Lord. Some odor already. And sometimes the things that die in our life, disappointment that we never settle, it stink. It actually hinder us to move forward. As a good Christian, we don't want to complain. Every time we meet other Christians, we say this. God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. Okay? I went to a pastor's house that has a parrot, you know, that bird. And when we wake up in the morning, I thought someone from the church come because someone says this, God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. Keep on repeating, and I know it's parrot. So parrot can say that, okay? We can say it, but not with our heart. Like the parrot, God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. But we still have this in our heart, disappointment that we do not settle. I don't say that we understand right now, but at least, just like Mary and Martha, tell to Jesus your disappointment. And Jesus would say to all of us, roll the stone. Open your heart. Open our heart is our responsibility. But let Jesus take Lazarus and rise Lazarus from the dead. That's his part. The miracle is his part. Our part is to open our heart. Let him heal our heart. I don't know what disappointment that has happened in your life. Probably you pray for your son. Probably you pray for your business. Probably you pray for a relationship. A lady came to me and said, I try my best to keep the marriage, but he, my husband, asked for a divorce. Where is God? There's disappointment. There's so many disappointments that we experience even as Christians, that we don't have all the answers. But God's going to use that disappointment to become an appointment that he will make with each and every one of us. But it starts with opening our heart. And I want, at the end of the service, we all pray if we have something that died in our heart. And the Holy Spirit remind you this morning, God wants to heal us. I don't know if it's instant like Lazarus, but only God can heal the disappointment. Don't just keep it and make you numb. You are afraid to believe again. Remember, I believe that God's love language is to trust. When you trust him again, it gives him pleasure. And God wants to bring you to walk with him as someone that is healed. And you know only God can bring that healing to your life.